Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yes, hello, welcome to Summer Sports Week. I'm Ollie Slack and I'm with you for the next hour. We've got a packed show this evening, looking at some great summer sport here in Cambridgeshire and nationally as well. Cambridge City Ladies are involved in a League Cup final this afternoon against Bedford Ladies. We're hoping to get reaction from that from manager Tim Rapley, still awaiting the result on the various social media page. We'll keep you updated. We're hoping to have American football local team, Cambridgeshire Cats. One of their players will be joining us in the studio hopefully this afternoon. They are involved in action this evening, but hopefully their game will finish and they'll hop foot across over into the studio. And we'll get an interview with them in just a bit. Well, Cambridge United's retained list was announced last week, so we'll be getting all the reaction from that from Tim Armitage, his views on who the youth are keeping and who they are letting go. Not much noise afterwards, really, from the players who were offered contracts. We'll get Tim's views in just a bit. Cambridgeshire County Cricket Club were taking on Suffolk in a double header, two T20s today. They lost the first one but won the second one, exactly the same as last week against Hertfordshire. Skipper James Williams will join us on the phone to talk through that. And more cricket for you. It was a big game in the National Club Championship as Sawson and Babraham of Whitington Partners Division 1 took on Cambridge Cricket Club of the East Anglia Premier League. They battered it out in the sunshine this afternoon and Cambridge Cricket Club ran out comfortable winners. They're through to the next round. We'll hopefully speak to both skippers this hour. And as you may have guessed, it was quite a busy day with the Football League's top division in the Premier League. Manchester City are the champions once again. Back-to-back successes for them, just pipping Liverpool to the post. Let's start then with the news from the Premier League and I'll run you through what has been an incredible day in the Premier League. It was very nerve-wracking, I'm sure, to start for Manchester City fans when Sadio Mane opened the scoring for Liverpool against Wolves in their game. All matches were kicking off at 3 o'clock this afternoon, of course, a final day ritual. And Sadio Mane opened the scoring in the 17th minute for Liverpool. And I'll tell you, it was nervy because Glenn Murray, 10 minutes later for Brighton, opened the scoring for them against Manchester City. So I'm sure a few City fans and players were feeling the pressure. Pep Guardiola went down onto his knees, I think, at one point. But it didn't last for long. A minute later, Sergio Aguero, he always has to have his say in the final day, and he did once again this year. A minute later, netting for City to equalise. And then 10 minutes after that, Laporte nodded in from a corner for Manchester City to make it 2-1. And then in the second half, it was cruise control for Manchester City. They stepped through the gears and Riyad Mahrez made it 3-1. With 27 minutes to play, and then Ilkay Gundogan with a beautiful free kick with 18 minutes to play made it 4-1. And at that point, Liverpool fans, well, they knew the title had slipped from their fingers and it really was Manchester City's year. But what an effort really from Liverpool. Looking at the league table now, Manchester City played 38 points, 98, 2 points off that 100 point mark which they achieved last season. And very rarely do you see a team in the runners-up position in second place just 1 point behind the league leaders. I think it's probably the tightest title race since that that famous victory for Manchester City on the final day against QPR, which was, what, 7 years ago in the 2011-12 season, when Manchester United had done their bit against Sunderland at the Stadium of Light. And then I think two goals in stoppage time, Edin Dzeko for Manchester City, and then Sergio Aguero, that famous bit of Martin Tyler commentary that meant they beat QPR 3-2 and it landed Manchester City, I believe, their first Premier League title. They've gone on to win a couple more, a few more since. and Pep Guardiola's second since arriving in Manchester. Let's run you through the other results then in the Premier League. Brighton and Hove Albion 1, Man City 4, as I've already said. Arsenal, well, no trouble was Burnley for them, 3-1. Crystal Palace beat Bournemouth 5-3. There's always a game with goals on the last day of the season. Fulham 0, Newcastle 4. So clearly the pressure was off for Newcastle and they could really ease into action, winning 4-0. Fulham, well, Scott Parker was announced as their head coach this week and not a great start as his first game as full-time coach. Leicester City 0, Chelsea 0. Not a great game for the final one of the season. Chelsea, I think, had already secured top four by that point. I think they just about have what they have now anyway. We'll come on to the top four race in just a bit, but read out the rest results. Liverpool 2, Wolverhampton Wanderers 0, as we already said. Sadio Mane also scoring there, so got a brace there. Manchester United 0, Cardiff City 2. What a result that was. Nathaniel Mendes-Lang, a few may remember him playing over at Cambridge United in the 2014-15 season under Richard Money. I didn't think he played that many games, but he joined on loan then. He was at Cambridge and he's risen up through the ranks. I think he was at Rochdale for a bit. And then at Cardiff in the Championship, and of course Cardiff got promoted. He scored two at Old Trafford this afternoon. Big problems for United and Ole Gunnar Solskjaer there. Southampton 1, Huddersfield Town 1, Tottenham Hotspur 2, Everton 2, and West Ham. Similarly to Newcastle, really, sort of the pressure off, and they could relax a bit and beat Watford 4-1 away from home, which not many sides have done this season. So just let's finish off the table then in the Premiership. And as I said, Manchester City played 38, won 32 with 98 points. I think incredibly as well, they'd won their last 14 games, which is why this title race has been like no other, because Manchester City and Liverpool have just been relentless. Usually sides do slip up and you do sort of see a team sort of bottle it. But both sides have been winning constantly over the last few weeks. I can't remember the last time either side dropped points or lost a match. Chelsea in third, as I said, Liverpool, sorry, played 38, won 30 with 97. Chelsea in third played 38, won 21 and 0.72, snatching that first spot off Tottenham Hotspur in fourth, who have 71 points. They are going to be the Champions League sides next season. Arsenal got fifth with 70 points. Manchester United in sixth once again with 66 points. A massive 32 points off Manchester City, almost, what was that, 11 wins away from their noisy neighbours. Wolverhampton Wanderers, a great season for them in 7th, 57 points. Everton, Leicester City, West Ham and Watford all in 8th, 9th, 10th and 11th respectively. Then you get more into the lower ranked sides. Crystal Palace, 49, then a 4-point gap to Newcastle and Bournemouth. Burnley with 40. Usually the 40-point mark is one that's guaranteed safety. Well, in fact, it's been a lot less than that this year. Southampton 16th in the league, 39 points. Brighton Hove Albion surviving with 36 points. And Cardiff with 34 points are the third team to be relegated. The second team to be relegated were Fulham with 26 points and Huddersfield Town. It's been a terrible season for the Terriers. New ownership, though, so they'll be looking to bounce back next season. 16 points at the foot of the table. No other football games for you today. I noticed there was a Championship games on last night as well, and the playoffs, they're all getting underway in the Football League playoffs. Yeah, but apart from that, not much really football action towards the end of the season. Well, let's get a bit more reaction from the Manchester City game now. You heard a bit on the news at the top of the hour, but Richard Newman was covering the game there, and this is what he had to say at the final whistle when Manchester City were crowned champions.
They have settled an extraordinary season, a brilliant title race, deserved champions. It's finished here at the Amex. Brighton and Hove Albion 1, Manchester City 4. City are the title winners.
Yes, so Manchester City are the champions of the Premier League, the 2018-19 season. Let's get a bit more reaction from Vincent Kompany, the winning captain. He got to lift that trophy, I believe, for a fourth time now.
Back to back, I think it was the hardest and most satisfying Premier League ever. It makes me so much more happy. We played against such a good team all season, and when our backs were against the walls, we won at home at the Etihad, and that made the difference.
Certainly did, and Vincent Kompany with that stunning goal on Monday night against Leicester. That was really the big moment in this Premier League title race. Let's hear from the losing manager now. Jurgen Klopp also spoke and said of his disappointment to lose out on the Premier League title.
When your opponent is City, then it's difficult. I think it was for them difficult to get rid of us, and we couldn't get rid of them. But with the season, I'm completely fine. With the points, I'm completely fine.
Jurgen Klopp completely fine. But like I said, very difficult to shake off Manchester City. Both sides were relentless in their race for the title. And finally, a final word from Richard Newman as the moment when Manchester City and skipper Vincent Kompany lifted that great trophy.
Holds the prize aloft. City are the 2018-19 Premier League champions. The first club to retain the title in 10 years. What a team. What a season.
Yeah, certainly are. So a brilliant win for Manchester City. They are your Premier League champions of 2018-19 season. To celebrate, well, who better to give the honours than Noel Gallagher himself.
Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wispar, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wispar.com.
Yeah, welcome back to Summer Sports Week here on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're live from Guard Street. My name is Ollie Slack, and we've got about 45-ish minutes left of today's first show. Let's just give you a little bit of an insight of what's coming up throughout the summer here on Cambridge 105 Radio, our sports coverage. Summer Sports Week will be with you every week from 6 till 7pm on Sunday until the football season gets going again around August time when From the Terraces will return. And we've got From the Pavilion our cricket show as well on a Wednesday evening from 6 till 7pm. With all the latest from the cricket scene in the area as well. That'll be repeated Saturday 12 till 1pm if you do miss it. Right, I did say I was hoping to talk American football this hour today, and Chris Fox, one of the players from Cambridgeshire Cats American football team, has hot-footed it over to the studio, literally just finished the game. So before we get into the news, Chris, welcome to the show, but obviously the main news is did you win today?
Thanks for having me on, and yeah, we did win today.
Good, good stuff. You played Bury Saints today, I believe, and I was checking sort of the posts on Facebook and checking the scores, but you managed to get home 18-10.
Yeah, that is true. So we usually keep our updates on Facebook and on Twitter, and we were down at half time, but managed to pull it back in the second half. It was a hard-fought game, and we were really happy with the win.
Yeah, yeah. Let's talk a bit. We'll come on to the season as a whole in just a bit then, but I said to you off air, American football is probably a sport that, if people are listening in, might not know completely everything about. And I'm sure, obviously, you know every single rule book, every single rule from the rule book. So just for those, do you have a very brief explanation of American football, really, and what it's like?
So, I mean, yeah, American football is a little bit of a niche sport, especially here over in Britain. It's 11 players from each team on the field at any one time, and with one side trying to advance the ball and the other team trying to stop them. The advancing can be done on the ground through rushing or through the air passing. It's kind of just, a lot of people think it's like rugby, but for softies because of all the padding, and that is something that we all hear fairly often. The thing that we always try and respond with is that rugby is a contact sport, whereas American football is a collision sport.
Interesting, interesting. Yeah, there is always that sort of bit of beef between the rugby and American football players, and that you hear about it being a softie. But from definitely watching it on TV, it's definitely not a soft sport from where I'm sitting. So let's talk about, in terms of Cambridgeshire Cats then. How long has Cambridgeshire Cats been going? Because like you say, American football, obviously, by the name by the nature of it, is very popular in America. And I imagine it's just sort of starting to take off in Britain. What's sort of the local scene like, and when did sort of Cambridgeshire Cats form?
So I think Cambridgeshire Cats actually formed like back in the 80s. There was like a really big like American football scene back in the 80s, and they had like sponsorship from people like Budweiser and Coke, and like teams were really big. They had a lot of people from the US over here, and then you had like NFL Europe. So it kind of built up in the 80s and then died a bit in the 90s. I think the Cambridgeshire Cats actually folded at one point and then were brought back. We've got our whole club history on our website, www.cambridgeshirecats.com, where you can read all about what the team has been up to and like the different iterations it's been through.
And in terms of this season and the setup of the league, you're in a League of Six at the minute, and all fairly local sides as well you play. So is there like a bid to try and get into a national league?
So we're in a national league. The way it works is we're currently in what's called the SFC1 East, which is the South Football Conference Division 1 East. And within Division 1, you've actually got four conferences, each made up of six teams. And so what will happen is that at the end of the season, when we get to, there'll be like a playoff structure, and the southern teams will fight it out, the northern teams will fight it out, and then there will be a Division 1 final between the winner of the north and the winner of the south. So it is a national league.
And in terms of that sort of playoffs, if you like, it's been something you've been striving for a few years, and how desperate are you to make those playoffs, really? Because you just missed out the last couple of years, haven't you?
Last couple of years, it has literally come down to the last game. I think last year it came down to the number of points that we had conceded against one of our opponents. And yeah, it was absolutely heartbreaking. But this year we have a specific goal, and that is to make it to playoffs, to win a championship. We are going to state.
Yeah, hopefully so. So this season going well. Before today, played 2-1-2, now played 3-1-3. So 100% record, going well.
Yeah. In there, we also were awarded a walkover victory when one of the teams was unable to actually fulfil the fixture. So we're actually set at 4-0.
Yeah, it was Ouse Valley Eagles, wasn't it?
That was
a couple of weeks ago, yeah. So, and in terms of, you know, on the field, you feel the side's in really good form, and I imagine all the sort of work done in pre-season to try and get that objective of trying to get into the playoffs is, you know, sort of showing your performances.
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. And last season then, talk about a record of sort of 3-1 to sort of the mid part of the season, then you sort of hit a bit of a bump and it sort of didn't really pan out. Missing on the playoffs last season, how difficult was that then in sort of the pre-season to motivate yourself and go again? Because obviously it's such a season where you just want to, you're constantly pushing for those playoffs, and to just miss out over the last two seasons, what was the sort of motivation to try and get you going again?
It made us hungrier. The fact that we only just missed out made everyone hungrier. Like, usually the season ends, and even if you make playoffs, once the season is done, whether you've gone to playoffs, gone to the final, whatever, you take a couple of weeks, couple of months to regroup, kind of have some downtime away from football. For so many of us, it was the week after, we're all thinking, all right, let's get back in the gym, let's get working. Like, the coaches, the players, everyone was focused on next year, this is going to be our year.
Yeah, great to hear. And so far, sort of mentality is clearly showing in the performances. Another win today against Bury Saints, a good victory for yourselves. It's 18-10, so another good performance.
Yeah. It's the first time this year that we've conceded any points, so we were a little bit miffed to have finally conceded points, but hey, we're really happy to have got the win.
Brilliant. Well, we'll talk a bit more about American football as a whole after this short break, and get your thoughts on the national game over in America as well, and where it's heading. Of course, with lots of stadiums, especially in Britain, accommodating American football now, like obviously Wembley and the new Spurs stadium as well. Must be great for the game. We'll get more from that and yourselves just after this short break. Last night.
Summer Sports Week on Cambridge 105 Radio with Wizpark, the mobile app that keeps you up to date with grassroots football in Cambridgeshire. To find out more, visit wizpark.com.
Welcome back to Summer Sports Week. That was Undo by Callum Scott featuring Naughty Boy there on Cambridge 105 Radio. We're still joined by Chris Fox in the studio, who plays for Cambridgeshire Cats American football team. And Chris, we were just talking off air actually about the sort of the standard of American football in the UK, and obviously Cambridgeshire in Division 1 at the minute, and there's a Premiership division as well. But you were saying there's quite a big discrepancy between the divisions. There's Premiership, Div 1 and Div 2, but there's sort of quite a leap between the leagues.
Yeah, it's not unusual for teams to be promoted to the Premiership and then immediately come straight back down after having gone 0-10. When you face teams like the London Warriors or the London Blitz, they are a massive step above anyone else.
Is there any particular reason? I mean, you mentioned that, you know, these teams are the sort of teams within the Premiership as well that are even superior to, like you say, other sides who would come up and just come down again. Is it sort of size, perhaps, I don't know, imagine more drawn to the London area, have a bit more money about them, can probably attract sort of better players and that sort of thing?
That's what we think. I mean, I've never played for either the Blitz or the Warriors, but they are teams that are sat in the capital, They have a much larger recruiting pool, and so they're really able to like attract the best talent.
And you were saying as well, in terms of those sort of top teams in the Premier Division might have an opportunity to play against other sites in Europe as well. And in Europe, they get paid to play as well, which isn't the case in Britain.
Yeah, no, in Europe, it's like a semi-pro league. So players in places like France and Germany will get paid to play, whereas in the UK, it is a fully amateur league.
So you guys all pay subs to play rather than get the money. Yeah,
exactly.
And do you feel that in the next few years, potentially a couple of decades or so, we might see a transition where the UK leagues do go sort of semi-pro and we might get that sort of break, like the Europe League, where players are getting paid to play?
It's not something that I think the governing body would actually want to go towards. Like, they're quite invested in having it as like a grassroots amateur league. But we have just had a big shake-up in the BAFA governing body. Like, they've had a new chairman, a whole new board's come in. So it could be that in 10 years' time, they decide that they want to take a semi-pro.
And in terms of then progression, I imagine for top players in sort of this, you know, the amateur game, if you like, so some really great players in the top of the Premier Division, what's sort of the route for them to turn professional?
Well, so a lot of European teams do recruit out of the best teams in the UK, and, you know, will offer players contracts to go over to Germany, go over to Finland, you know, and get paid to play for a bit.
And do you feel there's any sort of barrier on how far American football can get in Britain? You mentioned that the governing body aren't particularly keen on turning it semi-pro. But do you feel obviously we see on TV, you know, the American football and the glitz and the glamour over there, and, you know, all the stadiums and all what it is over there. Do you ever feel that Britain will ever get like that?
I think first there would need to be a fully professional team, like if the NFL were to give a franchise to London, for example, that would be the first thing that would need to happen before we could actually have like a professional league over here. I mean, it could be that that is going to happen, because the NFL have recently announced that they're going to start an academy for 16 to 18 year olds in the UK.
Okay.
So, like, they are aware that American football is a growth sport. I mean, I think someone told me it was the fastest growing sport in the UK. So there is definitely interest for it over here.
Yeah, definitely potential for it. And in terms of the coverage, you know, we see American football, you know, the NFL on sort of Sky occasionally, and the BBC as well, especially when the playoffs are on and the actual Super Bowl gets to the final. We see, you know, the highlights, and it's all across the world for those few days. And it's almost like we just see it for those few days, and the season is obviously from September, and then you get the playoffs and sort of the final around February time, and we see it for that sort of short amount of time, sort of, I don't know, sort of drip fed on sort of British TV. Yeah. I imagine for the game to really grow in Britain, you probably want to see a bit more coverage more regularly, and on probably free to air TV as well.
Yeah, I mean, that would be fantastic. But I think there used to be like British American football on Sky back in the early 90s, but when the popularity dropped off, no one really picked that back up. There's recently been some production companies, I think they're called Onside Productions, who live stream some games on YouTube, and some teams are going down the route of like Facebook Living their games. So there are people who are looking into ways to get it broadcast without having to go through like a regular broadcaster.
Yeah, it does. There's a lot of cross collaborations here with cricket, which I follow greatly as well, because you've got a lot of sort of local clubs all pay their match fees; they don't get paid themselves, and also, of course, in the cricket in the county championship, a lot of counties are now streaming their own games because the coverage on Sky and free to air is so sparse. I imagine, like you're saying, that's going to be the way forward, especially streaming as well. But in terms of the popularity of the game in Britain, we are seeing a lot more in terms of games, sort of the one-off games or a couple of games a season coming over to the UK. You know, Wembley is used throughout the NFL season, and I know the Tottenham Hotspur's new stadium is built to accommodate American football as well.
Yeah, so the NFL have made a real commitment to growing the sport over here, or at least growing the fan base over here. They see it as a market that they can tap into. I've been to most of the last couple of years' games at Wembley and at Twickenham, and it's an absolutely fantastic experience. But I've also been to watch a game in Foxborough, and it's a completely different thing.
Yeah, I can certainly imagine that. In terms of Cambridgeshire Cats, then, we'll wrap up and finish with them. Season's going really well so far, fingers crossed, and aims is playoffs.
Yeah, aim is state. We are going to state, is what we like to say.
Good. And in terms of, if you know, people want to get involved in American football locally, is there opportunities for anyone to just start and you know, and play and have trials for Cambridgeshire Cats?
Yeah, so Cambridgeshire Cats will take anyone over the age of 18. We'll take people of any gender, any ability. We have the coaches to train you up to be a player. We also have a junior side who take people from 17 to 19. I mean, they had a game today as well. It was a doubleheader down on Coldham's Common. If you want to get involved in playing American football, either message our Facebook page or use the contact form on our website, and you know, we'll help you get involved.
Brilliant. And then going forward, who have you got next week?
Next week we are hosting the Wembley Stallions, and that kicks off for the seniors at 2:30 on Coldham's Common.
Coldham's Common, so it must be a great place to play American football as well.
Especially in glorious sunshine like this.
Yeah, so next week they are at home once again to the Wembley Stallions. And in terms of actually just touch on facilities there, what's Coldham's Common sort of rate like in terms of the facilities amongst the division you're in currently?
It ranks pretty, like, it's pretty standard. It's we're lucky in that we don't play on a rugby field. We can actually play on a full 100-yard pitch with the traditional, like, Y goalposts. Mm-hmm. A lot of teams play on converted rugby pitches, which means they're only 90 yards long.
Yeah, so sort of the challenges of sort of local sport and grassroots sport still come to the fore there.
Yeah.
Chris, it's been brilliant. Thanks for coming on.
Thanks a lot for having me.
Yeah, we'll hear more from you throughout Summer Sports Week, as we say. I think we've got about 11 or 12 shows Summer Sports Week, so we'll definitely keep in touch and see how you guys are going. All the best for next week against the Wembley Stallions.
Thank you very much.
Cheers. Kylie Minogue on Cambridge 105 Radio. That was Chris Fox's choice for you. He wanted to choose a bit of Kylie as he leaves the studio. We'll hear more from Chris, I'm sure, and Cambridgeshire Cats the rest of their season here on Cambridge 105 Radio. But it's time to turn our attentions to Cambridge City Ladies now, and they're involved in a League Cup final this afternoon. I've been desperately trying to figure out how they've been getting on. Trying to find the updates on Twitter, and still no, nothing from them. But I have got manager Tim Rapley on the line, so I'm sure he'll be desperate to let me know how they've got on. Tim, thanks for coming on the show.
No problem, Ollie. Do you know the score or not?
Unfortunately, Tim, I don't, so this will be an interesting interview for me.
It could be very interesting, yeah. Do you want to have a guess?
judging by your jovial attitude, I'm sure it was a win for Cambridge City Ladies.
Only just, though. It was after extra time. We won on penalties.
They blew
it. So it was a very tough game, yeah.
So give us a rundown of the match, if you could, Tim, in terms of, not minute by minute, but in terms of the key moments and the goals and when things happened.
Yeah. Sure. I'll give you the first 5 minutes. we were 2-0 down.
Blimey.
So, we conceded after 2 minutes and conceded after 5 minutes. So I think the long layoff that we'd had clearly wasn't very beneficial. So, Bedford came at us out of the blocks really quickly, and we did struggle to get a foothold in the game. First 20 minutes, we were really under the cosh, under pressure. 2-0 down after 5 minutes, got back into the game a little bit more during the second half of the first period. We got a goal back through Megan Tonks, scored after going on as a sub, and it was 2-1 at half-time. played much better second half. I think we were more on the front foot and managed to get a goal from Hannah Bodley, who used to play for Bedford. So that was quite sweet from her, from a personal point of view. And no goals in extra time. And then we were successful in the penalties. We had 4 from 4. And fortunately for us, they missed a couple there. So we won 4-2 on penalties.
So a brilliant win then. The cup, I'm sure, is in your possession. I'm sure you've been lifting it up in the air ceremoniously. But Tim, so you mentioned the long layoff, and we spoke a bit about it on Wednesday night on the final Cambridge Football Show midweek. You said it had a bit to play for. How much of an impact do you think that was? Was it sort of more mentally, or was it fatigue? What was it?
I'm really not sure. I didn't lose my cool at half time because I was obviously very concerned the way we started. But I gave them the benefit of the doubt and said, with a 4-week break, it took us a little while to get going. And I think Bedford had been playing every week that week. So I think that was partly due to it. Maybe it's something about finals that we don't always perform to our best. I'm not sure. The pitch was very difficult, though. It was a 3G pitch, a pretty new one. And it was really quite slow. Some strange bounces. It had so much rubber crumb left on it. So it's quite an awkward pitch to play football on. But second half, no, I think we did deserve the result in the end. But just quite delighted to get over the line, really, and secure the double.
Yeah, it was. I'm sure you'd have quite liked a bit of an easier 90 minutes and extra time and then penalties, but like you say, getting over the line and getting the trophy is all that matters, and that sort of going 2-0 down, coming back to 2-all, then taking it for extra time, then taking it to penalties, that whole sort of bizarre sort of circumstance that the game found itself in, that is all to do with the mentality and how strong you've been this season. You're going unbeaten in the league for such a long while and not even showing an ounce of complacency throughout the whole league campaign, and then battling back today from 2-0 down to win on penalties, just showed a brilliant mentality throughout the squad.
Yeah, they were, you know, pretty determined. They knew they hadn't performed very well in the first half and wanted to put it right second half, which they did. But yeah, I think when you go on a winning run like we've done, you just don't accept defeat, and you want to win every game if you can. Obviously, it was a draw after 90 minutes and extra time, but to keep their cool and be 4 from 4 on the penalties, that's a testament to the players and the season they've had. They've been superb all season. Really proud of them. Really pleased for the club as a whole to do what we've done this year. And development, as I mentioned to you last week, they've won their league. Mm. They've won the junior invitation. They've got a League Cup final on Thursday against the University. So to potentially end up with 5 trophies in one season between the two teams is a fantastic achievement at whatever level you play at.
Yeah, I did sort of cheekily prepare one of these questions. I did cheekily assume that you would win the cup. No disrespect to Bedford, but a side who have gone unbeaten, almost scored 100 goals in the league season, it would be difficult to back against City. So my next question was, in terms of the success, like you say, of all those development sides, Tim, you obviously the under-16s, League and Cup double, flicking through the tweets on the Twitter account this afternoon, seeing the under-11s and the under-12s ladies winning cups as well. Of course, you've won a cup this afternoon as well. So it's just great success all throughout the football club at the minute.
Yeah, I mean, I'd imagine it's our most successful ever. It's taken a little bit of time to sort of get to the place that we are. There's people been at the club for 10 years or more, working very hard to try and give opportunities to go locally to play football. And they've clearly been doing something right with the girls. But what's really important to us as a club is to try and get those girls playing with the ladies, first team or development. And so there's a real true pathway for the players that join Cambridge City. I think we might even be having a third ladies team next year, which is in discussion at the moment.
Brilliant.
Nothing confirmed yet, but while there's the players there, we've got to give them an opportunity to carry on playing with us, hopefully. So it's not easy. As I say, there's a lot of hard work goes into it. But we're being rewarded for it at the moment, that's for sure.
Yeah, and then just a final word, if you could, Tim, on your final game of the season in the league, which is next up against Bedford again. A 3-2 victory in September, 2-2, and then a penalties win on, today. So is the third fixture of the season going to live up to another unnervy encounter?
I think it might be. I'm not sure they enjoyed playing us too much. A couple of naughty incidents have gone on today, I think, from their side. So I think the... the game at their place will be quite hotly contested. I'm sure they'll be want to be the first team to beat us in the league campaign. I don't doubt that for one second. So we'll go there and do our absolute best to make sure we're unbeaten for the league and finish on a high if we can.
Yeah, do you mean naughty in terms of on the pitch sort of antics?
Well, just let's say when we've got a free kick that we've taken quickly and one of our players is going towards goal, they threw a ball on the pitch, which in my mind is not very sporting. I'll just leave it at that, I think.
Yeah, I'm sure let the football do the talking in the last game. But Tim, all that matters is that you're driving back now, I'm sure, with a trophy wrapped up with a seatbelt on the front seat next to you. Tim, thanks so much for coming on, and we'll speak to you. I'm sure you have a great time, Tim, and enjoy the celebration. We'll speak to you soon.
Well done. Thank you very much.
Cheers. Tim Ratford there, Chemist City Ladies manager, and a few others in the car, I believe, as well. Let's move on then and talk cricket. As I said at the top of the show, Cambridgeshire were in action this afternoon. We'll get more from this in depth on Wednesday nights from the Pavilion, but I am going to try and speak to Cambridgeshire skipper James Williams now, after they were in action today. Another T20 double header against Suffolk. They beat Hearts once last week and lost to Hearts last week as well. So 1-1, lost one so far. And let's see how they got on today then. James, thanks for coming on the show.
Hi, how you doing?
Yeah, good, thank you, mate. So today's fixtures against Suffolk, another weekend where you've 1-1, lost one. So what were your thoughts after that?
Pretty similar to last week, really. We were poor in the first game. We didn't really bat very well first game, and second game we did exactly what we've been planning to do all year, bat very well in the power play and build around that and get a good total on the board, and boys bowled well in the second innings to restrict them. So yeah, it's been frustrating the last few games. We know exactly what we can do. We just need to execute it for two games on the trot rather than just one.
Yeah, it's a case of going to bed early the night before, because it's the 11 o'clock fixture. It seems to be a bit tricky for you.
Yeah, it seems to be that. Well, last year it was the other way around. hopefully we'll be able to rectify that in a couple of weeks' time.
And what was selection like today? Because there was lots of games going on across the county. There was obviously the big game Source and the Baberham against Cambridge. We noticed that Wackers Hussain was opening the batting for yourselves. Callum Guest, who usually plays for Cambridge, was playing for Sawston. So it was a bit of sort of to and fro in there.
Yeah, it was. You know, it's quite frustrating, really, that the ECB and minor counties can't work together and get fixtures right so players can play all sorts of cricket at the same time, but understand there's fixture clashes. So fortunately availability wasn't too bad. I think I've said before, we've got a fairly strong squad this year for white ball cricket, so we've got a lot of lads waiting for their opportunity and knocking on the door. So yeah, we had a very strong squad out today, and a few selection issues for a couple of weeks time.
Yeah, and in terms of the table, you mentioned last season when you narrowly missed out on the getting to finals day in second place. You are now second place, narrowly missing out on that top spot. So, you know, up next you've got games against Bedfordshire and Suffolk. And Norfolk to come, yeah. One of the two. And so where do those sort of sides rank in terms of your next couple of fixtures to the sides you've played so far in Suffolk and Hearts?
You know, Norfolk are always a very strong side. We always like that little derby game against those guys. We came out on top against them last year with two wins out of two. So we'd like to hopefully replicate that in a couple of weeks' time. And Beds are always one of those teams that, you know, sometimes they turn up and sometimes they don't. And last year we obviously didn't turn up second game, which cost us a place in T20 finals day. And I think we are learning from our mistakes, and hopefully we're in exactly the same point as what we were last year, and going into the last four games needing four wins. So hopefully we can go one better than last year.
Yeah, and I guess the good thing is Hearts in at the top of the table. You've already got one over on them. Obviously they beat you as well, but there's no sort of, it's not a record that they have got two over on you. So if it does come tight, that win against them might prove vital, like I say, Norfolk and Bedfordshire to come. A quick word then on Wisbeach, James. Won again yesterday against Triplow, and Whiting's won. Four sides in Whiting's won 100% records, and Wisbeach are one of them.
Yeah, we've played some really good cricket. I think we had them about 60 for 9 yesterday, and it's disappointing to just let them off the hook a little bit and let them get to 100. You know, the boys are looking really good. We've got a really strong bowling outfit at the minute, and we've got strength in depth with our batting. So two good wins so far. We've had a really positive pre-season as well. So, yeah, hopefully we go to Histon next week, who are doing pretty well. They've got a strong outfit there. So hopefully it'll be a good test for us, and we'll continue our winning record.
Yeah, hopefully so. James, thanks for coming on the show. We'll speak more with you on From the Pavilion on Wednesday, I'm sure.
No worries. Cheers.
Thank you, mate. James Williams there, Cambridgeshire County Cricket Club captain. They won one and lost one, exactly the same as last week against Suffolk this weekend. Hearts last week, and I did get it right in my notes, Bedfordshire and Norfolk, but for some reason read Suffolk, just happens. Anyway, right, let's talk Cambridge United now. And I meant to talk to you about their retain list has been released in the last few days, or the last week, sorry. And Finlay Iron, Brad Halliday, Leon Davies, George Maris, Gary Deegan, Tom Knowles, David Amu, Jabo Abire, all been offered new deals. Jabo Abire's contract has actually been extended by a trigger that was put in it. Emmanuel Azadebe, Sam Squire, Matty Foy and David Ford have all been released. And to analyse that is our own Tim Armitage. Thanks for coming on the show, Tim.
Hi there.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Tim. So when the return and release list was announced, it must have been about a week or so ago now, what was your first reaction when you saw it?
Well, pretty much exactly as we expected, to be honest. It is what it is. Everybody guessed that's what it would be. The only thing that kind of interests me and probably upsets me is that, you know, how do we have a contract with a striker who can trigger an extension when he scored four goals? There should be something in it the other way that says, look, you can't trigger it if you don't reach a certain target.
You should pay us back.
To have to continue paying him for four goals last season, unless I mean, you know, fine, I hope he proves me wrong and scores 20 next year, but I don't think he will. So it's kind of a bit of a disappointment that happened, but it is what it is. He had the clause in his contract. He'd have been stupid not to extend it, I think.
Yeah, interesting one. When you look back at it, Jabo Abire handed a two-year deal, and of course, if you plus that extension, that's a three-year deal to a 33-year-old, which is quite bizarre in itself. In terms of the players let go, Emmanuel Azadebe and David Ford, no real surprises there. The players off a contract, this is interesting. You know, pick through those, which ones you think will decide to accept the contract, and which ones you think will probably decide to sort of defer and walk away.
The speculation. I love it. I mean, I don't believe that Maris and Halliday will stay, but then it depends on, you know, what offers they get. I can't see any advantage to them necessarily in moving to another League Two club, and I'm not sure that either of them have done well enough. Halliday's done okay. Maris has had a fairly poor season, so I don't think he's done enough to get offered anything better than that. So, you know, I'm not sure that either of those will be back. But I'm not sure they'll also make a move that won't just annoy people. You know, they'll just move to a rival who's not massively better than we are. At a time when we're trying to rebuild, but you know, that's the way it goes. They get offered a contract. The rest of them, I think all of them will accept a contract out of the others. Deegan might be the only one who doesn't, because he might get something from somewhere else. But other than that, I can't decide whether I think he's done well to be offered another contract or not. Because I think, you know, when he hasn't played, we've missed him. But when he has played, he hasn't looked like he's going to set the world on fire. I think his tactical players look suspect. At other times, it's looked fine. His tackling, everything about him is kind of like 50-50 as to whether I think it's a good move or not to stay. But I think at least having that experience of playing in the squad, because I think we're going to end up with a younger squad this year, I think that would be the only reason why I think I'd see him as being a better to stay than to go.
Yeah, for a man who doesn't definitely not shriek a 50-50, the fans are definitely split 50-50 on him. Andrew Georgeson from the Cambridge News said he spoke to Colin Coldwell and he said that he was very relaxed, and he said if all seven rejected the deals, he wouldn't particularly be bothered. I mean, he is a very relaxed man, Colin Coldwell, but that is sort of stretching it, I think, a bit, isn't it?
I guess you've got to prepare for that. There's a chance they won't. you know, I think if he says he's prepared for it, then he probably is. I mean, that's quite what we're going to see. I mean, it was interesting that the first announcement of the, you know, the postseason was the fact that our head of scouting has moved on to Brighton, I think it is.
Yeah.
Which I think, you know, in the most, probably one of the most important, you know, season breaks that we've had for a long, long time, that can't be a good thing unless, you know, part of the reason why he's moved on is because, you know, Calderwood is being given more control over the process, which I think would be a good thing.
Yeah.
You know, we don't know the reasons behind it.
Yeah, I'd imagine from the fact Colin has said that he is quite relaxed of it would probably suggest he does have that bit more element of control. And if you could, Tim, in about sort of 30 seconds, Alex Jones has been released by Bradford. Would he be a player you'd like to bring back?
I think he would be a good acquisition for the club if we can get him at the right price. And I think that's key, is whether we get him for the right price.
Yeah, interesting one. Obviously, a difficult one, potential of injuries, and obviously the year looking back with Barry Corr. But of course, Alex Jones is a lot younger, and he'd show a lot of potential in his loan spell. But Tim, thanks for coming on. I'm sure we'll hear more from
no
you.
No problem.
We won't keep you quiet throughout the summer on Cambridge United. Thanks for coming on.
Cheers.
Tim Armitage there, our Cambridge United expert, as ever. He's having a well-earned break of travelling miles and miles around the country throughout the football season. That's it for the first Summer Sports Week. I hope you enjoyed it. A packed show, squeezed a lot in there at the end. Never quite sure whether live fixtures on a Sunday are going to finish in time. But that's it. Up next on Cambridge 105 Radio is the Big Band Show with John Hammond. So stay tuned, and I'll see you on Wednesday for From the Pavilion.